I am gonna hide behind, hide behind a mountain. Well, I'm gonna hide behind, hide behind a mountain. Well, I'm gonna, yes, I'm gonna hide. I'm gonna hide behind a mountain. With a chilly wind, I tell you, it don't blow. Lord, I'm gonna hide behind, I'm gonna hide behind the mountain. Well, I'm gonna hide behind the mountain. Well, I'm gonna, yes, I'm gonna hide. I'm gonna hide behind the mountain. With a chilly wind, I tell you, it don't blow. Well, I know that a Jesus shown up is that old mine. Well, I know Jesus, he is that old mine. Well, I know Jesus, shown up here, oh, that old mine. I'm going where the chilly wind, I tell you, it don't blow. Chilly wind, it don't blow. Chilly wind, it don't blow. Chilly wind, it don't blow. Whoa, chilly wind. Whoa, chilly wind. Whoa, chilly wind, it don't blow. Well, I'm gonna, yes, I'm gonna hide be. I'm gonna hide behind a mine. Well, I'm gonna hide behind the mountain. Well, I'm gonna hide behind the mountain. I'm going where the chilly, I tell you, it don't blow. Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This is 2013, and I tell you, it is the acceptable year of the Lord. 2013 is the year of the Lord's favor. Amen. And if you don't have his favor in 2013, I urge you to accept the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. 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 You know, I got a note from a very special lady, and just want to wish a young man in our congregation, young man, Earl Allen, I'm going to just read it, was blessed with another birthday yesterday. Did you bring any cake with you today? I know you had cake. Please pray that he will be blessed with many more happy and healthy birthdays. That's from Sister Marilyn Allen. And we certainly hope that for Brother Earl, that he'll have many, many more happy and healthy birthdays. You know, there are some great people born in October. Praise God. I know a lot of folks born in October. Yeah, my grandbaby said, I said, when is your birthday? October 1st. I said, well, how old will you be? 3 years old. Well, she got it down, amen. So we thank God for all of our October people. Amen. This morning, dear brothers and sisters, is the concluding message of a series of seven entitled The Seven Great Rooms of Life. We've talked about for the past 7 weeks, including today, these seven great rooms. We've talked about the emergency room. Amen. We've talked about the waiting room. We've talked about the dressing room. We've talked about the class room. We've talked about the board room. And we talked about last week the dog room. And today, we want to talk about the operating room. Is that all right? You have your Bible this morning. Turn with us to the book of Colossians, which will serve as the sermonic basis for this message today. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Verses 11 and 12 are the verses. Colossians 2, verses 11 and 12. You have that, say amen. Amen. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Using that text today, we're going to share the message, the operating room. There are some rooms in life, and sometimes the circumstances of life dictate that we find ourselves in these great rooms. You may not want to, but you may find yourself sometime going to the emergency room. Can you say amen to that? Amen. You may not want to, but sometime you may find yourself in the waiting room. But I heard somebody say, you can't hurry, love. You just got to wait. Amen. Amen. And sometime you go to the dressing room where you put on certain things, and then you have to take off certain things. And then all of us, since none of us know it all, we have to go to the classroom. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And then the boardroom is that place in all of our lives where we must make the big and even the difficult decisions of life. And sometimes life ain't easy. Sometimes you have to make tough decisions. Can you say amen to that? In life, sometimes you have to make difficult decisions. And then, of course, we talked about the dark room, the place where photographs are made. And sometimes we have to go into a place that's hidden. Can't nobody see it. But just because you can't see my thinking don't mean I ain't thinking. Is that all right? Just because you can't see me growing and you can't see me improving doesn't mean I'm not improving. And sometime we have to go to the operating room. Now, operating room is a place where surgical operations take place. There are places in hospitals where surgical operations take place. And I don't think anybody necessarily wants to go to the operating room. We don't go singing, I'm going to the operating room. You know, but sometime in life, we have to go to the operating room. And usually when we go, the thinking is, the thought behind going is that I'm going to do this in hopes of getting better. Amen. Is that right? Nobody going to agree to an operation going to make you worse. Yeah. And so I'm going with anticipation that I'm going to get better. My life is going to get better. Mm-hmm. All over this great nation and all over the world, people are going into operating rooms every day because sometimes the situations and the circumstances of life demand that we go in the operating room. And if physical operations are important, I want to tell you that spiritual operations are even more important. God has an operating room. Amen. And God is the greatest surgeon or operator in the universe. Now, the book of Genesis, the first chapter of Genesis, rather than being a detailed description of creation, is more an introduction to God. Because if you haven't been introduced to the Lord, you sure need to be. Is that all right? And it tells us that God created the world. And he is a great operator. It says in the book of Jeremiah, let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Let him that glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. I am the Lord that exercises loving kindness and judgment in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Amen. I tell you, we need an introduction to the Lord, the God with whom we have to do. When this great God, who makes a world out of nothing, can't explain that. He said his ways are not like our ways, and his thoughts are not like our thoughts. But when this great God looked at creation, he said it was good and was very good, but that was one thing that wasn't good. And God looked around and he saw Adam didn't have nobody. Hello? Amen. Mr. Giraffe had Mrs. Giraffe. Mr. Elephant had Mrs. Elephant. And even Mr. Skunk had Mrs. Skunk. Is that all right? Mr. Pig, or should I say Hog, had Mrs. Hog. But Adam had nobody. The great God of heaven said, it ain't good for man to be alone. So I'm going to make for him and help me. And then in the book of Genesis, we read the first case of anesthesia. Mm-hmm. Because God caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep. Yeah. You know, when you get an operation, you need some anesthesia. In fact, when you get operated, you want to go to sleep, don't you? You don't want to be waked through it, do you? Most of us don't. Praise God. He fell into a deep sleep and God opened up his side. And God took out a rib. And the Bible says he opened it up and he closed it up. He opened the womb and God closed it. And I'm convinced that not only did he close the wound, but he healed the wound. And God took that bone and God built a woman. Oh, and she was good looking. She was, oh yeah, she was beautiful. She'd put Halle Berry and Beyonce to shame. Yeah, she was good looking. And God brought the woman to the man and he looked at her. And he said, this is bone of my bone. This is flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. 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 Because she was taken out of man. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and he shall cleave unto his wife. And they shall be one flesh. God is the greatest surgeon in the universe. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody operate on me like Jesus. Is that all right? So in this lesson today, I want you to see two things. Number one, God performs an operation when he takes away our sins. Hello? Yes. If your sins have been taken away, you've been operated on by the Lord. Amen? Amen. Point number two is key areas that God wants to operate. Key areas that God wants to operate. And the truth is that when God takes away our sin, the reality is that is an operation. Now, we can't do anything against the truth. That's why Solomon said, the wise man Solomon said, buy the truth and sell it not. This is why Paul said we can do nothing against the truth. This is why Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Winston Churchill said that truth is incontrovertible. He said that malice may attack it, ignorance may deride it, but in the end, there it is. You know, the truth ain't going nowhere. In the end, there it is. And the truth is that when our sins, in fact, you can't go to heaven without this operation. Hello? God has to perform an operation. You have to go into God's spiritual operating room to get your sins washed away. Now, I want to call your attention back to the text in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 11. It says, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Now, circumcision was a sign of being in the Old Testament covenant. And what it was the cutting away of the foreskin of the male genitalia. And this represented being in covenant relationship with God. Now, this is called the circumcisions made with hands. But there is another circumcision which cuts away the foreskin of sin and unrighteousness. And it's made without hands. Is that all right? It says, in putting off the body of sin. You see, sin's got to be cut away. Amen. Sin has got to, the biggest problem. Look, I can appreciate and I do understand that we got a mess in Washington. I realize that. But do you not know that was a bigger problem? That was a bigger problem. And that problem is the sin problem. Sin is what is called an intractable problem. Intractable means difficult to deal with. Sin is like a huge stone that cannot be removed with human strength. And the only person in the world, mama can't do it, daddy can't do it, baby girl them can't do it. The only person in the world that can help me with my sin issue is Jesus. Is that all right? That's why we can say, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Sometimes we say in the church, he's done so much for me. How many this morning and say the Lord done so much for me? Is that all right? I mean, he doing something for me every day. He's doing something for me every waking moment. He's doing something for me even when I'm asleep. He's doing something for me. Oh yes, he's done so much for me. But then there's a circumcision, that the cutting away. He said, look at this. He said, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh. Amen. Watch this. By the circumcision of Christ. The circumcision, that is the circumcision made with hands. The cutting away of the foreskin, and then there is the circumcision without hands. The circumcision of Christ, which puts away the body of sin. All of my sins are washed away. Can you say amen to that? Amen. And when the Lord forgives a sin, you never have to worry about it no more. Don't you believe for 1 minute that every sin you ever committed is going to be brought up at the judgment? Ain't so. That ain't Bible. Because once God forgives it, he forgets it. Is that all right? There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What then is the circumcision of Christ? The circumcision of Christ is the death of Christ. The circumcision of Christ is the death of Christ. It's the thing, you know, sometimes when we talk about death, it's the end of a man's work. But in the case of Christ, he achieved his greatest victory. Because the Bible said that he died for our sins according to the scriptures. Oh, ain't that, isn't that glorious? He died for my sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, rose again the third day for my justification. That means, that's a legal term. It means my acquittal. He died to pay the penalty for my sins. He was buried. He was resurrected so I could be declared in God's courtroom not guilty. And I want to tell you that Christ's death is so magnificent that when it cleanses you, it is like you never, ever sinned. Lord, have mercy. No wonder Jude could say, listen to this, now unto him, talking about Christ, who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I'm telling you that one day when you stand before the Lord it's going to be the happiest day of your life. But that day would not be possible if you had not had the circumcision of Christ. Is that all right? When he cut away the body of sin and made you a new creature. That's the operating room. Amen. In Christ Jesus. Well, the circumcision of Christ is the death of Christ. Do you not know that's the heart of the gospel? The cross? That's, look at that. What's that? His, every Sunday we go back by Calvary. Every Sunday we take the bread, which represents the broken body. We take the cup, which represents his shed blood on the blood-drenched slopes of Calvary. Oh yes, he came from heaven's adoration to earth's agony for my sin. He came from heaven's coronation to earth's condemnation for my sin. Amen. And so the cross of Christ, the death of Christ, the circumcision of Christ is the heart of our salvation. Amen. And until you go in the operating room, praise God, then you ain't a candidate for heaven. Well, here's a $1 million question, maybe $2 million. How can I receive the full blessings and benefits of the circumcision of Christ? Look at the next verse. The answer is found. It says, buried with him in baptism. That's how you hook up with Christ. You can't pray your way in. You got to be baptized in. God is not in the dry cleaning business. Is that all right? And so, the theology of the New Testament, the theology of baptism, because the Bible is authoritative, it's inspired, it's infallible, it is a literary masterpiece, it is the final court of appeals in matters of faith, practice, and doctrine. And the New Testament, it doesn't matter what a man says, it's the New Testament that matters. And what does it say about baptism? Well, it says that in order to have the circumcision of Christ, to have this operation, you've got to be baptized into Christ. Glory to God. Colossians 2:12 says we are buried with him in baptism. Or we are immersed with him in baptism. Amen. That's why when folks really understand, I remember that was a lady. She came down the aisle and she wanted to be baptized. And the man of God took her down in the water. And when she came up out of that water, she come up shouting. She kept thrusting her hands in the air. She understood. She had had an operation. Her sins were gone. Is that all right? So I unite with Christ in baptism. Colossians 2:12, we are buried with him in baptism. Romans 6:3, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death. Listen to that. Verse 4 says the same thing. Buried with him. Where? In baptism. Galatians 3:27. For we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Glory to God. 1 Peter 3:21. The like figure whereunto baptism doth also even save us. It is not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but it is the answer of a good conscience toward God. God, you told me what to do to get rid of my sin, and Lord, I have complied. Lord, I have obeyed, and because of that, I stand in your presence with a clear conscience, because I've done your will. Acts 22:16. Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. Glory to God. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Is that all right? Even Jesus said in the Great Commission, he that believeth and is baptized. Doesn't matter what men say. What matters is what the word of God says. It doesn't matter what Moss says. What matters is what the word says. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The Great Commission, Matthew 28. He said, go and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name, singular, of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The circumcision of Christ, the cutting away of the body of sin. How? By, it's not made with hands. It's a mysterious process. I don't understand how a brown cow eat green grass and get white milk. I don't understand how God flung the stars way out yonder like exquisite chandeliers in their silvery sockets, and they just hang there. I don't understand how the sun in its magnificent orbit just hangs there. It's a lot I don't understand. But I trust God. Is that all right? And so we are in the operating room. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is thy flow. Makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's why we're saying, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. One day when I was lost, Jesus died upon the cross. I know it was the blood. For me, is that all right? Then I heard somebody say, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains. I tell you, if you hadn't gone to the operating room, you need to go. You need to hurry, is that all right? Because you don't have much time. Because I hear Isaiah saying, a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, and the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. You better run to Jesus, because you don't have much time. You need to go to the emergency room, because if you in sin, you got an emergency. Is that all right? Because if you're dying in sin, what Christ is, you can't come. Amen. Here's a final thought. Three key areas that God wants to operate. How many want an operation this morning? Yeah, I need an operation this morning.
I need God to keep operating on me.
Because you ain't always been this pretty. Y'all pretty now? You pretty now? You scared to say it? Sparks, you pretty this morning, ain't you? Yeah, you pretty this morning, ain't you? You remember when? You're pretty this morning, Sparks. All us pretty in Christ Jesus. Is that right? You know the story of the vase. The vase was in the beauty shop, and a lady came in, looked on top shelf, and said, ooh, you're such a beautiful vase. And the base said, I ain't always been this pretty. He said, because that was a time in my existence when I was cold clay, Sister Johnson, and the potter took me and he molded me, and that hurt. And after he molded me, he scraped me, and that hurt. And after he molded me and scraped me, he then put a coat of paint on me and put me in the oven and baked me. And that hurt. I ain't always been this pretty. Is that all right? And so there are some doctors, and we thank God for physicians. Amen. They play a vital role in our lives. Amen. And there are some doctors who have reached what I would call superstar status as doctors. One such doctor is Dr. Ben Carson. He is a world-renowned neurosurgeon. Dr. Carson knows his way around an operating room. He has performed some astounding feats on the human brain. Amen. So we have to tip our hats to Dr. Carson. There's another great doctor who has gained notoriety and fame. Dr. James Andrews is a doctor that operates on most world-class athletes. Just recently, RG3, who is the franchise quarterback of the Washington Redskins, suffered a knee injury. And most of the time when guys get hurt, mega superstars, they seek out Dr. Andrews, because Dr. Andrews has an outstanding track record. Is that all right? And he performed the surgery on RG3, and now 1 year later, RG3 is back on the football field. This outstanding running back for the Minnesota Vikings, Adrian Peterson, who they say is almost a freak of nature, had a very terrible knee injury. And in about a year's time, not only did he fully recover, but he seemed like he's better than he's ever been. I'm telling you, these are great doctors. But I tell you, there's another doctor. Can't none of them touch. His name is Dr. Jesus. Is that all right? And if you don't have an appointment with Dr. Jesus, I tell you, you ought to make one. Because one day he said, they that are well don't need a doctor, but they that are sick. And then he said, I have come not to call the righteous, but the unrighteous to repentance. But I got some bad news for you. I'm sorry, I got some bad news. I got to share. I know you don't want to hear this, but I got to tell it like it is. You see, you really can't appreciate the good news till you hear the bad news. That's right. Amen? Uh-huh. And the bad news is there are no well people spiritually. I'm sorry. All of us here today, I don't care if you got a PhD, MD, LLD or no D. We all have a sin sickness. Hello? I don't care whether you live in Mountain Brook or the hood. I don't care whether you are a graduate of Samford, A&M State, Lawson State, Tennessee State, Brother Rutledge and Sister Rochelle, Amen. Any other state? Jacksonville? UAB? Who else? Tuskegee, yeah. Praise God. And let me just throw this out. Tuskegee is a seminal university. One of the greatest schools of higher learning in the world anywhere. Tuskegee. The home of the legendary Dr. George Washington Carver. Thank you, Sparks. Amen. But all of us, we may have the latest in fashion. We may have the new haircuts and the new styles. May have the new weaves. You may have your toes and your fingernails done, but you still got a sin problem. Hello? You may wear the most exquisite scents, but you still got a sin problem. And all of us here today need heaven's medicine. And heaven's medicine is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why the Lord said, go and tell it to all nations, because all nations are sin sick. Are you listening? Not only all nations, go and tell it to all individuals. Because everybody, whether you acknowledge it or not, you've got a sin problem. Hello? And the only somebody can help you with it, you need the circumcision of Christ. It is a circumcision. It's done in the operating room, and it's done without hands. Now, God operates in two important mediums. Make a note of this. Two important mediums. God operates through his spirit, and God operates through his word. Ephesians 6:17 says that the sword of the spirit is the word of God. God can operate on you with his word. Now let me talk about three critical areas that God wants to operate, and I'm going to conclude. The first area that God wants to operate is on our minds. Hello? Because our minds are the control centers of our lives. Now, the United Negro College Fund said a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Well, if you waste your mind, it becomes a terrible thing. Hello? And you know, if your mind messed up, you messed up. Huh? You can't get your life right till you get your mind right. Is that all right? Amen. So God wants to do an operation on our minds. Hello? Because as you think in your mind, so is you. I mean, are you? Is that all right? God wants to operate on my mind so I will love him with all of my mind. God wants me to love him with my intelligence. God wants me to love him with my intellect. God wants me to give him the glory and the benefit of my best thinking. Don't use your best thinking just to make A's and B's in school. Use your intellect to love God. Let him do an operation on your mind. The second place he wants to do operating is on your heart. It's on your heart. He said, love me with what? All of your heart. And you know, some people got heart trouble, and I don't mean right here. Some people got spiritual heart trouble. Some folks got hardened hearts, mean hearts, low down hearts, nasty hearts. Is that all right? And God wants to do an operation on my heart so I will be kind to folks. Hello? You got some folks just mean. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost, here. Is that all right? He said, be ye kind one to another, tender hearted. How many tender? Well, we need some tender hearts in Washington. Hello? You take away a man's job, he can't feed his kid. That don't move you. I ain't never seen so much viciousness and evilness and mean-spiritedness in this world. Somebody need an operation on their hearts. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. You want to be forgiven? Some folks don't want to forgive nobody. And always saying, you know, Lord, forgive me. Well, when you going to forgive somebody? God wants to do an operation on my heart so that my heart will not be devising wicked imaginations. God wants to do an operation where I can have a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for Brother Wife, but they shall see God. One day, a rich young ruler, Brother West, said, I want an operation. He came running to Jesus one day and said, good master, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus said, get on the operating table. And once Jesus started to cut away that greed and selfishness and covetousness, he died on the operating table. Did y'all hear that? He didn't die because Jesus couldn't save him. He died because he didn't want to give up his greed. He died because he didn't want to give up his covetousness. And there are some folks today going to die because they don't want to give up their favorite sins. It's some folks love going to the dog track. Preach, Moss. Is that all right? Some folks saying that loving you is wrong. I don't want to be right. Is that all right? Is that okay? Amen. Your mom and dad and spirit say, it's a shame. It's a downright disgrace. But long as I got you by my side, I don't care what the people say. Your friends tell you it's no future. And loving them. I thought y'all knew that. If I can't see you when I'll see you. I thought you knew that too. Is that all right? Because some people don't want to give up their favorite sin. You need an operation. The reason you ain't saved now, because you need an operation. And let me tell you this. God wants to operate on my body. Now I'm going to really get deep now. Can y'all handle this? Let me ask one more time. Parental guidance advised. God wants to operate on my body, my physical body, to the extent that he wants me to see my body as a temple. Your body. How you see your body? How you see it? Six Happy Meals, order large fries. and one Diet Coke. My body is the temple. He wants to raise my level of thinking about my physical body. He wants to do an operation. And he said, glorify God in your spirit and your body. Do you think a lot of Christians see their physical bodies as temples? Get deep, don't it? Well, he wants to operate on my body where I present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Oh, Lord, operate. Lord, operate. Help me, Jesus. And whether I eat or drink, and when God operates on your body, now, how many of y'all drive luxury cars? Or y'all gonna just sit there, huh? I roll the windows down and let y'all look out there. Now, in your luxury car, I drive a 2004 Cadillac Escalade. Brother Earl, when I first got it, I was going to take the cheap way out. So I put regular gas in there. I did it. So Spelling, every time I would stop, that car would be just pinging, ping, ping, ping. It pinged for a half an hour. So I asked somebody, I said, man, why is this thing pinging like this? He said, man, what kind of gas you put in there? I said, man, I'm putting regular in there, man. He said, man, regular? He said, you got to at least put mid-grade or premium. Y'all ready for this? Now, I got something better than a luxury car. I got a temple. What kind of fuel am I putting in my temple? Because God wants me, let me tell you something. The more energy, strength, and vitality I have, the more I can do for God. Is that right? Is that right? Shouldn't I give God the best of my service? In fact, every one of us in here ought to start working out. Because my body is a temple. And the more strength and health and vitality I got, I can glorify him. Amen. A church that's tired, I'm going to share this. But Harris probably going to talk about me, but I'm going to share. You know, I play tennis. And I got a pretty good game, pretty good game. But you know, Earl, I have lost some matches I shouldn't have lost because I was just tired. Guy wasn't better. But Wes, by the third set, I was fried. Sandy, I was missing shots. And I said, now, Moss, if you're going to play this game, the way it need to be played, you got to get in shape. And yeah, and when them youngsters beat me, they get to talking. Yeah. Yeah. You're getting old. I said, you speak for yourself. You don't speak for me. I'm telling you, you do everything better when you look at what you put in your temple. And when you look at how you take care of your temple. Because after all, he said, your body is a temple. And I believe if we looked at it that way, we could live long lives, healthy lives, happier lives. Is that right? Amen. And he wants to operate. Amen. I need to go into the and church. I'm working out now. Hello? Y'all pray for me. Huh? Where I can keep doing it. Trying to make good dietary choices. Because I need my strength and my vitality. I need to be strong for Jesus. I need energy for the Lord. Somebody look at me. I said, now, if these world-class athletes are doing all this working out for that, I said, I'm serving a greater cause. I got a higher motivation to be the best that I can be. So in conclusion this morning, God has an operating room. He wants to operate on your mind. He wants to operate on your heart. And yes, if you let him, if you listen to him, he will take you to the highest level of physical health. How many want the highest level of physical health? Now understand, I do understand there are some things you can't control. We understand that. But I am saying the thing that you can control concerning your health, you should do it. Is that right? Because in your body, you are to do what? Glorify God. Your body is not a garbage disposal. It is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And Lord, I need an operation. Amen. So I'm going to my seat, but I thank God that God is good all the time. Can you say amen to that? Amen. And all the time, God is good. He is the creator behind all creation. He's the designer behind all design. He's the lawgiver behind all law. Is that all right? Because can't nobody do me like Jesus and his blood, Sister Smith, can do an operation on me. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood one day when I was lost. Jesus died upon the cross. Is that all right? And I know can't nothing take away my sin. I know it's the blood. Is that all right? Tide can't do it. It's the blood. Ajax can't do it. It's the blood. Is that all right? Shout it out. Can't do it. It's the blood. Sound wide. Kaboom. Can't do it. It's the blood. Is that all right? 20 mutant borax. Can't do it. It's the blood. Lysol. Can't do it. It's the blood. Clorox. Can't do it. It's the blood. Is that all right? Mr. Clean. Can't do it. It's the blood. Is that all right? Comet. Can't do it. It's the blood. Is that all right? Ajax. Can't do it. It's the blood. It's the blood. Nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. Is that all right? Oh, it's the blood. It's the blood. It never loses its power. 365 days in a year, it never, ever loses its power. Is that all right? And it's the blood that makes me whole. So this morning, is there anyone here who wants to have an operation? Would you stand, please? That's the message. Anyone here this morning want to have an operation? Lord, I need an operation, Lord. Lord, operation. operate on my mind. Give me better thoughts. Lord, operate on my heart. Help my heart to be better, Lord. And Lord, help me to raise my level of thinking about my own physical body. That my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's a temple of the Holy Spirit. Is there one here today that says, Lord, I need this operation? Well, let me tell you what you can do. You can hear the gospel, believe it, repent of your sins, confess Christ, and be baptized. That's an operation. That makes you saved. That's an operation. If you're a Christian and you're living beneath your royal privilege, you repent, confess, and pray, and that's an operation. Amen. And then you can go on your way rejoicing. And when people see the good thing God has done for you, they're going to want to be with you. Amen. Because your life is so fantastic. Can you say, my life is so fantastic? Can you say that? Can you say that?
Yes.
Well, say it. My life is so fantastic because the Lord has done an operation on me. Amen. And I tell you, that's real. That's real. I tell you, the best move I made was to give my life to the Lord. Can you say amen to that? I do not regret giving my life to the Lord. Amen. Well, I know it was. Oh, yes, and I know. Shown up, and I know for me. Well, one day when Jesus died, oh, yes, and I know it for me.